session requires a different source sheet. Let me just pull the link, and I will post it for you in the chat. There it is. Okay. So, our 2 o'clock session begins our discussion of Tanakh, fasts in Tanakh. Once again, I wish to thank Ellen Warner and Jeff Lipton for dedicating the entire day in memory of Frieda Warner, Zichrona Levracha, Frieda Bat Chaim Yehuda Leib, V'Chaya Roiza, on her 12th Yahrzeit. And this class is also dedicated by Ruth and Erwin Diamond, L'Zecher Nishmas Chaya Tziril, Bas Rav David, Zecher Tzadik Levracha. So this class is Shaul's military fast. And I'll also note for you at the end of the sheet, you will see the link for the day of giving of my Beit Midrash. For those who are able to participate, that will be great. Thank you very much. All right, so there's a lot to say about this story of Shaul's military fast. I gave you a link, the first source on the sheet, to classes that I've taught on the Book of Shmuel, which include a very long discussion of Shmuel chapters 13 and 14, which are relevant for our discussion. We're not doing all of Shmuel right now. Our question is going to be this. We're going to see Shaul take an oath that soldiers will fast while pursuing a war against the Plishtim, against the Philistines. This is a voluntary fast. And the question is going to be, was that a good idea or a bad idea? Are voluntary fasts good or bad? And again, I didn't plan having 2 classes in a row that relate to voluntary fasts. It's just the way that it worked out. So first, some background. And I gave you a list of relevant verses in source number 2 to help out. Our story begins in the beginning of chapter 13 in Shmuel Aleph, Samuel 1. Shaul's son Jehonatan starts a war. He attacks the Philistines. He intends to start a war, according to Don Isaac of Barbanel. God is with him. Jehonatan always believes God is going to be with him. It's going to be good. So Shaul doesn't even know. Jehonatan attacks the Plishtim. He kills a Plishti officer. The Plishtim attack in response. The Jews panic and they flee. Shaul brings sacrifices to God. He was not supposed to bring those sacrifices. That's its own story, not for us right now. The Jews are ridiculously overmatched. Shaul has 600 men who have not yet fled. The Plishtim have thousands. The Plishtim are attacking from 3 different directions. Thanks to subjugation to the Plishtim, the Jews have no real weapons. The Plishtim do not allow the Jews to work metal. The only ones with weapons are Shaul and his son Jehonatan. Everybody else is like farming equipment. However, Jehonatan, Shaul's son, turns the tide. He goes with his aide without telling anybody, and he attacks a Philistine outpost by surprise, and he routs them. The Jews see the Plishtim on the run. Shaul and the people see it. They rally and they attack, and Shaul seizes the advantage to go ahead and to pursue this attack against the Philistines, and that's where we pick up. So, obviously, there's a lot to the story that we've just summed up in like 30 seconds. But that's where our story is going to pick up. I'm going to put the link for the sheet in the chat once again. And if you take a look at source number 3 on the sheet, you see where we are. For the passages from Shmuel here, I have taken the current translation, adapting it a little bit to make the transliterations easier to read. So, we are told here, and I'm reading just the English translation in the interest of time. So the Lord saved Yisrael that day. Right? If you catch the Hebrew, Vayosha Hashem Bayom Ahu at Yisrael, reminiscent of the Red Sea. There are actually a lot of parallels, it's pointed out, between Shaul and Moshe. So, Vayosha Hashem Bayom Ahu at Yisrael, Hashem saves Israel, the battle passes beyond a place called Beit Aven, and the men of Yisrael were distressed that day. Distressed doesn't mean they were worried. Distress is one of those things in the current translation sometimes. It means that they were under strain. For Shaul had adjured the people, he swore, saying, cursed be the man who eats any food until evening, that I may be avenged on my enemies. We're going to take it to the Philistines. Nobody eats today. So none of the people tasted any food. That's the oath. What is Shaul's motivation for this oath? What would you say? What's Shaul's motivation?
Want to get the job done quickly.
Yeah, getting the job done. Right? That's the goal. The point that Shaul is trying to do here is keep people focused. That's what he's trying to achieve. And that is the way that that Abarbanel reads it. If you look at source number 4, you'll see Abarbanel say it there. It's to pursue the battle without distraction. However, the Malbim makes it more complicated. He adds in an element here of fasting for atonement. And he gives two different ideas, which I brought you in source number 5. First, he suggests maybe there was an automatic fast for atonement at times of trouble, and Shaul extended it into the battle to avoid distraction. In other words, you're under attack by the Philistines, of course you're fasting. And Shaul says, I want us to perpetuate that fast as part of pursuing this battle to avoid distraction, but it started out for atonement. Or alternatively, Shaul decreed the fast for the sake of atonement, and the nation themselves said, and we're not going to eat any food, we're not going to have anything, not even the most minimal thing. The nation said even tasting. Shaul said, don't eat like a meal. And the nation said, anything at all, we want to atone. The idea that it's about atonement and not just a practical thing may fit the text better. Because in the text itself, if you go back to source number 3, you notice he said, Arur Ha'ish, cursed is the one who eats. That sounds like it's a moral right and wrong, and not just about a military strategy. In any case, not knowing where this story is going to go next, right? For those who have not already studied this story in depth, what do you think? Good idea or bad idea? This fast. If you know where it's going, that's not fair.
I think it's a
good idea. Good idea. Claudia says, good idea. Okay. I mean, it certainly makes sense militarily, right? You want people not to be distracted. I hear that. From an atonement perspective, we do take on fasts, although we've noted that we don't really like voluntary fasts. Well, watch what happens here. Let's see what happens with this fast. Take a look at source number 6, please. This is, you'll see I broke it up into 3 different sections, but it's the ensuing text. And all the people came to a wood. There's a forest. There was honey on the ground. General assumption here is that when they say honey, what they're talking about is bee honey. As opposed to date honey, the assumption is bee honey. There's actually a lot to be said about why bee honey, but it's not for right now. When the people came into the wood, behold, a stream of honey. But no man put his hand to his mouth. The people feared the oath. But Yonatan heard not when his father charged the people with the oath. Yonatan doesn't know. Because Yonatan had gone off on his own, had attacked the Philistines. He wasn't present when Shaul declared the oath. So he doesn't know. He put out the end of the rod that was in his hand, dipped it in a honeycomb, put his hand to his mouth, and his eyes were brightened. Ah, that tastes good. For all those of us who are fasting today. Then one of his people answered and said, thy father strictly charged the people with an oath, saying, cursed be the man that eats any food this day. You're not allowed. What are you doing? And the people were faint. Commentators differ as to whether this was something that someone told Yonatan, that the people were faint, or just the narrator speaking, saying the people were faint. The people are feeling really weak. Well, Yonatan said, my father has troubled the land. See, I pray you how my eyes have brightened because I tasted a little of this honey. How much more if only the people had eaten freely today of the spoil of their enemies, which they found, had there not been now a much greater slaughter among the Plishtim. He says, you know, we could have really done better in this battle if people had been eating. Yonatan is not a fan of his father's decision in this regard. His reaction to it is its own parasha. It's really its own discussion. But right now we see the statement, Julie I see in the chat made note of it as well, it's hard to fight if you're hungry. That's one reason why we might question the wisdom of this fast. Well, continue the story. And they smote the Plishtim that day from Michmash to Ayalon. And the people were very faint, right? They were faint before, now they're very faint. And the people flew upon the spoil. And they took sheep and oxen and calves and slew them on the ground. And the people did eat them. Al Hadam is the Hebrew, with the blood. Of course, you know, we are not allowed blood. That was actually mentioned in an earlier session today. Well, then they told Shaul, saying, behold, the people sin against the Lord, and that they eat with the blood. And he said, this is Shaul, you have transgressed. Roll a great stone to me this day. And Shaul said, disperse yourselves among the people and say to them, bring me oxen, bring me sheep. We're going to shech them here at the stone and eat. Don't sin against God by eating with the blood. And that's what they did. And he built his first altar to the Lord. So Shaul criticizes the people for what they've done by eating with the blood. What in the world does eating with the blood mean? What was eating with the blood? So the Gemara says, it's a Gemara in Zvachim, that that what they did was they brought a karban, a sacrifice. However, when you bring a sacrifice, one of the things you do is you take some of the blood and put it on the altar. And they ate before they put the blood on the altar. That's the Gemara in Zvachim Dap Kufchaf. However, various commentators give different explanations on this. So Radak says, did I bring this on the sheet? I think I wanted to, but then decided it would be too much. No, I didn't. Okay. So Radak says that wasn't the issue. The issue is that they wanted to eat the animals. They shechted the animals, but they didn't set up space for the blood to drain. So the blood couldn't drain out. And that's why Shaul says, here, I'm bringing you a stone. We'll shecht on top of the stone, and that way the blood will drain, and you don't end up eating the blood because the blood is not kosher. So that's an answer that's offered for what was wrong with eating on the blood here. Another approach is that they ate right next to where the blood had been taken from the meat, and that's like what idolaters do. The Torah says, lo sochlu al hadam, don't do like what the idolaters do, eating next to the blood. All sorts of different explanations. I could bring you more. But the point is, they ate inappropriately right after this incident with the fast. And I'm going to come back to the connection shortly. But first, we have to see the last section in the text. So we're still in source number 6, the third English paragraph. Shaul said, let's go follow the Philistines by night. Spoil them until the morning light. I didn't know morning light was one word. I guess Corin thinks it is. Okay, fine. And let us not leave a man of them. And they said, the people said, do whatever seems good to you. Then said the Kohen, the priest, let us draw near here to God. Let's ask God whether we should pursue the battle. Shaul asks of God, shall I go down after the Plishtim, after the Philistines? Will you help us? And God doesn't answer. And Shaul takes that as a sign of divine displeasure. God must be upset if he's not answering me. And Shaul says, all right, let's get all the leaders together. We have to figure out who's done something wrong. Something must have been wrong. And then he says, we're in that last paragraph, for as the Lord lives, who saves Yisrael, though it be in Yonatan my son, he shall surely die. Even if it's my son Yonatan, nonetheless, he shall be put to death. And nobody said a word to Shaul. Now, why in the world did he specify Yonatan? Don Isaac Abarbanel, I brought him for you in source number 7, brings two views. Either Shaul knew what Yonatan had done, and he maybe even planned on the nation saving Yonatan, but he knew it was Yonatan, or he didn't know, but he wanted to show there's no favoritism. The book of Shmuel, one of the big themes is a polemic against favoritism for your family, against nepotism. The book begins with Eli getting in trouble because of his sons, Hophni and Pinchas, and their abuse of power. It continues with Shmuel and his sons not being able to follow him in his position, the nation saying, they can't follow you, they're not who you are. And so Shaul is taking a stand and saying, I don't care if it's Yonatan, I'm going to see this through and punish whoever has done wrong. That's Shaul's statement, even if it's Yonatan. So we continue here. In the source, nobody has answered him. So Shaul, and I'm going to put the link in the chat again for the sheet, because some people have joined. So Shaul says, Havatamim, give a perfect lot, he says. Show me, God, who it is who is guilty. I demand to know the truth. And the people said, and Shaul and Yonatan were picked. Shaul and Yonatan are on one side, the whole nation's on the other side. The flaw is with Shaul and Yonatan. And Shaul says, cast lots between me and my son. It's one of us. And Yonatan was picked. And Shaul says to Yonatan, tell me, what have you done? And Yonatan says to him, I just had a little bit of honey with the end of the rod that was in my hand. I must die. Yonatan condemns himself to death. He says, I'm guilty. And Shaul says, you're right. That's exactly right. So he says, you shall surely die, Yonatan. And the people stand up and say no. Shall Yonatan die who has wrought this great salvation in Israel? Far be it. As the Lord lives, not one hair of his head shall fall to the ground. He has acted with God this day, and the people rescue Yonatan, and he died not. Okay, so that's our story. What can this story teach us about taking on voluntary fasts? Good or bad? And support it based on the story. Ellen asks, but the house of David is the ultimate nepotism. That is a fantastic question. I would tell you that I'll answer it if there's time at the end, but I know there won't be time at the end. That would be disingenuous. It's a very good question, a big topic. Maybe another day of learning. We'll see. Anybody tell me, based on this story, voluntary fasts, good or bad?
I don't know that good or bad is an answer, but you have to be really careful.
Okay, definitely dangerous. That's fair. Yes, Aaron, you were going to say? How's that for nepotism? Bad because it nearly had a very bad result. I definitely hear that. So Ralbag says something I would not have expected. Ralbag says we see from here that voluntary fasts are a good thing, that God agreed with Yonatan. Ralbag writes, and I brought it for you in source number 8, when he gives a series of lessons from this passage in Shmuel. He says, you know what you learn here? That one should act with alacrity when it is found that he is helped by God. Then you will see that Shaul swore the nation not to eat food until evening so that they would act with alacrity to humble the Plishtim. Shaul was taking advantage of an opportunity to urge the nation on. And he says it is already found that God agreed with this oath. That's why God wouldn't answer when the oath had been broken. When Yonatan ate, God said, I'm not supporting you to pursue the battle, because God was on the side of the oath. So writes Ralbag. But I have to tell you that for myself, I see 4 reasons here for not taking on such a voluntary fast. Someone just wrote to me in the chat, isn't the reason for Tanis Esther that it was traditional to fast when they went to war? Indeed, the Mishnah Berurah says that is the reason for Tanis Esther. That is indeed what the Mishnah Berurah says. He seems to be on the side of this fast as well. So I see 4 reasons, though, not to do this. And in fact, to say it's a bad idea. Give me one of my 4 reasons, please. Yeah! How many times did we stress in this passage, Vayav Ha'am, Vayav Ha'am Me'od, the people were tired, the people were exhausted. Yonatan says, we could have done so much better! Right? Number one reason not to do this, as Rebecca writes in the chat, alacrity even when it is hot and they are hungry? Right? I like the word alacrity. As I think it was Rabbi Taub who I first heard translate Zrizut as alacrity, and I really like that. So that's number one, is that the people are exhausted. No, you have to pick your spots. As Jeanette says, be really careful. That's one piece of evidence that we don't like voluntary fasts. Give me another piece of evidence, please. How about Yehonatan eating out of ignorance? Right? Vows can get well-intentioned people into trouble, right? You did your best. You thought what you were doing was right. I don't know if anybody here has ever had this experience, but I have had numerous times where people have asked me, you know, I woke up in the morning and I forgot that it was fill-in-the-blank fast, and I drank some water. You know, it happens. People make a mistake. So it's one thing when you have an obligatory fast, you have to do it, so you have to do it. And if mistakes happen, you know, we hope not to. But you now take on additional oaths, you set yourself up for problems. This is a general principle in halacha. We are not fans of nedarim. We're not fans of vows. We say, tov asher lo tidor. Better that a person should not fast. It should not take on vows. So really, you're setting yourself up for disaster. Third point, Ellen notes it in the chat. The people have this hasty act of eating afterwards. All the explanations that are given for what was wrong that Shaul got upset about eating with the blood, trace it back to their haste. Whether it was that they brought a carbon and then ate before they could sprinkle the blood of the carbon because they wanted their food, whether it's because they ate the meat in such a way that the blood couldn't drain, or they ate right beside the blood, all the different explanations come back to one point. We are saying here, because you made them fast all day long, you ended up causing harm. You ended up causing something bad to happen. Mark, you're correct with your note in the chat. I'm coming back to it. That's a demonstration of the weakness of this idea of fasting. And then last, the nation points it out in the trial of Yonatan. They say, Hashem performed Tshuah Gedolah, great salvation with Yonatan on this day. That means Hashem is on his side, even though he ate. Hashem is not siding with the fast, with all due respect to Ralbag. Hashem is siding with Yehonatan. Not only that, now we can understand the halacha on voluntary fasting. We started this when we talked about taking on fasts for bad dreams. But I note for you on the sheet, in source number 9, the Pisrei Choshen, Rav Yaakov Yeshaya Blau, talking about the laws of being an employee. An employee is required not to cease working a little here and a little there. He must take care to be precise regarding times. You don't take breaks. You're an employee. You're being paid for your time. You dedicate your time properly. It's a 30-minute shear, not a 29-minute shear. He's obligated to work with all of his powers. And he continues to say, an employee may not perform his own work at night and hire himself out by day. Moonlighting, right, in a way that he doesn't sleep at night, and then that way he's tired during the day, and he may not starve himself and cause himself suffering, as this will diminish his work for the employer. You're not allowed to take on this kind of suffering and this kind of pain, because it diminishes your work as an employee. And so we brought in the shear on fasting for bad dreams in source number 10, Shmuel's statement that somebody who can't bear the pain should not be taking on fasts. That's called sinning. Again, these are voluntary fasts, not obligatory ones. Source number 11, the Rashba that we saw, saying it makes it harder to learn Torah. It makes it harder to do mitzvos if you take on voluntary fasts. All in consonance with the story that we've just seen with Shaul. What we're learning here is, you take on these fasts, you get into trouble. It appears to be a mistake. And if it was for atonement, as Malbim suggested, then frankly, it fits other cases in Tanakh in which religious actions taken during war backfired. We have other cases in Tanakh like it. Mark noted in the chat, Yiftach dedicating his daughter, right? He didn't think he was dedicating his daughter. Yiftach says, if God helps me through this war, whoever comes out of my house first, or whatever comes out of my house first, is going to be a karban. I don't know. Maybe he was keeping cows in the house, that he expected a cow to be what walks out of the house first. But clearly that, he didn't think that one through. Another example of it, Yehoshua, the spoils of Jericho, right? Yehoshua says, no one touches the spoils. According to most commentators, this was not something that God told him to do. It was Yehoshua modeling it on something that he had seen that happened in the times of the Chumash. Yehoshua decided, we're declaring the spoils off limits. What's the result of that vow? Right? What happened as a result? Yeah, Achan eats from the spoils. Takes from the spoils. The Jews lose their next war against Ai. People died as a result of that. In the story at the end of Shoftim, Pilegesh Begiv'ah, the Jews who are rallied against Binyamin take a vow. Whoever doesn't join us for battle against Binyamin is going to be killed. And they end up carrying it out against the town of Yavesh Gilad. That whole story is bad. Everything in that story is bad. The point is, and the point that I'm trying to make here is, that even if it's well-intentioned and for religious purposes like Malbim, or it's intended to get the people to push ahead in the battle against the Philistines, against the Plishtim, these people who had been murdering us and oppressing us for so long, nonetheless, fundamentally it's viewed as a mistake. I think the text emphasizes that and is trying to teach us that as a lesson here. I brought you review questions at the end. For this session, I actually do have the time to do the review questions. Why did Shaul decree this fast? Either, as we said, pushing the war ahead or atonement. How did the people eat inappropriately on the blood? Maybe it was before the blood was sprinkled from the karban, or without proper drainage of the blood, or the other ideas we mentioned. How did Yonatan escape Shaul's sentence for eating? The nation argued that God showed Yonatan was innocent. either that he's innocent or that he was guilty but he shouldn't die because God helped him? How might this story support voluntary fasts? Rabag's point, the Urim V'Tumim did not respond when the fast was broken, showing that God was with the fast, but it might oppose voluntary fasts because the people are exhausted and not able to fight well. Accidental eating of Yehonatan results. Hasty eating afterward that was sinful. And finally, God supports Yehonatan despite his breaking the fast. So that's the lesson, or I think a lesson that we can take from that story. And with that, I turn over the floor with, a minute and a half to go, to our next speaker. I forget who's next. Reb Chaim, are you next? Okay. Excellent.
Rabbi Tuchiner,
yes.
Rebecca, I just thought I would mention for those who don't know that Rabbi Reuben Volka passed away today, and the Levaya is at 4 o'clock.
Right. Thank you. We actually have someone dedicated the last class in his memory, and then I was planning then, I actually have it now, to post the link for the Levaya. I'll post it now also so that people will have it. It'll just take me one moment. But thank you. Someone just sent me a message, and then it tries to set me up to message them instead. Okay, perfect. All right. Thank you very much, Rebecca, for mentioning that. And we'll make sure to end on time for people to be able to participate.
Recording in progress.
Thank you very much, Rebecca Regina. We are next.